Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Had an interesting conversation on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. So interesting that I need Tausch's opinion on it. It involves our good friend Joshy DiMaggio and an errant UPS package edition. The Evan Cohen scheduled to appear mere days before the Killers come to Summerfest and the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. Not to be confused with what I had called it previously, which was the amphitheater. No P.
I think it's amphitheater.
No. I don't think that's what it is, but okay.
I think so.
I'm not here to correct you.
I mean, amphitheater is the most fun way to say it.
And it's amphibious. Because if it rains, you're still going to play. And if it's dry, you're still going to play.
Ambidextrous edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable, so you can put Wilde and Tausch right there. The first spot, pole position of the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, 2 days in a row now in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How is... How was their appearance on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? I'm excited.
So Josh DiMaggio, friend of show, producer of show, frequent texter on the private talk and text line of the show, ordered a pair of sandals for his.
He's a Birkenstock.
Well, it's not for him. It's for his lovely better half.
Guy.
And so apparently, in his neck of the woods. His address, you know what? Instead of me telling it.
Oh, boy.
Do we have walk-up music for Josh DiMaggio?
No.
What do you think his walk-up music would be? You guys have such a strange relationship. Was that like the Oompa Loompa song?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, he's saying Josh is heavy.
No,
is what he's doing
I am
there.
Not.
No, because,
no,
that's what you
he's
did.
Gotta, no, he's
and just because Jesse lost a bunch
up.
Of weight, Now he's, you know, he's fat shaming.
I am
Josh
not.
A little bit. That's
how much of that have you gained
you
back, by the way?
Irrelevant.
Wow. Now Jason's throwing arrows at you?
I'm just right. asking. I am definitely not
throwing
fat
arrows.
Shaming anyone.
Quick
no.
question, because I'm starting to notice that, well, Jason's being really mean and rude lately. I'm noticing that.
It's not very nice.
I know he's got a little vacation coming up. It'd be good for him to take a beat.
Do I?
Get a meal. I thought so. Maybe not. Is sandals and socks now in? Because
yes.
kids are wearing them. I don't understand it. Like, the whole point of sandals is to not have to wear socks. And since Josh is going to be talking Birkenstock here,
yeah.
Is this really where we're at? That socks are now worn with slides and or those. What are those little real comfy? They're not slides, but they're kind of grooved sandals. Do you know what I mean? They're like rubber. They're not Crocs, but they're like grooved. And that's the rave with our baseball team. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. So before we get to Josh and Jesse finds more appropriate walk-up music for him than the Oompa song.
Wow.
I would say this. I was told by Sydney, who was 14, when I was wearing slides without socks, you're walking around with your dogs out? Apparently that's what we call feet now, dogs. They're your dogs.
Well, that's always – no, that's been the case for years.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard my dogs are barking
these dogs
when
are
your
barking.
Feet are sweating? Come on,
well, sure,
Jason.
But not –
of
okay.
course. So you never
I
have
corrected.
Heard it? Thank
never,
you.
Never under – okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm the one being mean. The
well,
idea
– I mean, come on. You hurt
I've
you
never,
back that.
I've never heard
Whoa,
the phrase, your dogs out. As in, who let the dogs out?
That's literally where that song comes from.
No. It's about taking off your shoes?
Part of it. Yeah, it's TSA related.
I'm gonna have to...
It was all TSA related.
It's a song about the TSA.
The TSA agents put a song out, tried to generate
Everybody staying calm in line now. Yippee-yay-oh.
All right. So... I'm told that socks are not only acceptable with sandals, they are required and preferred by the younger generation. Nobody wants... I mean, think about your feet.
Man, I got gnarly feet. No
Does anybody
doubt.
Want to see that?
I don't care. If I'm going to wear sandals, you're going to see it. If I'm at if you're at a beach, the worst thing, and you know this, you put your feet in the sand or it get wet...
Sure.
And then you're going to put socks over the top, but there's nothing worse.
But if you're walking into your local Burger King for your ice cream and you've got your dogs out, yuck, right? As opposed to, hey, you got them covered up with a nice pair of socks with your slides.
Dude, you came to a Pella remote with your dogs barking.
I know. I have since been reformed.
Well, put some tennis shoes on, bro.
I did.
It wasn't like there's not a beach down by the Pella in Brookfield. There's not a beach there.
Are we going to ask Josh to tell this story or not?
With my sandals
I don't know.
Joining us now, Jesse, what did you come up with?
Jason didn't know. Let's hear this song. Jason has never heard of feet being called dog. That still is amazing.
Dogs
What song did you come up with?
Who let the dogs out? Roo, roo. Roo.
Josh, you're ready, but you may approach when ready.
What a jerk.
Now, I played my own music here to beat Jesse. That I'm taking great insult by what he said. It's also sort of attributed
Absolutely
with dumb guy, which
you
can say a lot of things about me. I don't think I come off as a dumb guy. There's a lot of things you can say, dumb not one of them.
Joshy, quick question.
Yeah.
The Oompa Loompa is not dumb. It's like you're sauntering is like a big lumbering fella.
Lumbering.
It's not that you're an idiot.
What do you do with lumbering?
Uh-huh.
No.
Totally
no, it's lumbering. It's heavy set. It's not dumb, though. Or you think it is?
I think it's sort of this like a goofy, foolish, like it. There's no compliment involved with the tuba song.
Sure. I agree
there's
with
no,
that.
There's no compliment.
There absolutely is.
There's not.
Your laugh
what
is what people know you most for. You're fun, and it's fun when you're just kind of bouncing around, having a good time.
Relax.
So a big jolly fella. So we're going back to the size
it's
thing.
Not it's jolly. You're a lumbering size. Idiot. Yeah, you know what? You might be right, Josh. Maybe it is you're an idiot,
have
too.
You looked?
Yeah.
Have you looked at what an Oompa Loompa actually looks like?
Yeah,
you should
guy.
Take great offense to this.
Okay. I will say I'm not going to pester too bad. I have been mean to Jesse on more than one occasion, so he gets his shots back. I have to take it. I give it, I'll take it.
All right.
So to give the whole situation here, we had a package delivered to the street directly behind us, which has the same exact address. So the address throughout the whole thing is the same, down to the numbers.
What is that address specifically? And also,
I will not be doing that. I will not be doxing myself nor the person who is a thief.
Okay.
Nope, not going to be doing that. The only thing that's different is the road. UPS made a mistake, and UPS ultimately is at fault here. UPS are the people we reached out to about their mistake, and along with us, UPS has made three separate attempts to get in touch with the people because they know where it was delivered and they know it was misdelivered. So they've done three attempts. We did one. We went there same day that the package was brought into the house, left a note, which we did not put any accusatory tones in it. We are very pleasant. Said, UPS made this mistake. We noticed it was your house based on the picture left. And we said, please contact us. We will happily come to your house and pick it up. We left a phone number and our address to say, hey, even if you're just walking down the street or going somewhere, you could drop it off too, but we're more than happy to come there.
Sure.
After many attempts, UPS finally reached out to us and said, these people have refused to answer the door at any point, but the notes left on the door have made it inside the house every single time, meaning they are receiving notice but not taking note of it. To add to it, they also have a Ring doorbell. No free ads, but on those doorbells, you can obviously see who's at the door and who's coming to do
an
it.
Oompa Loompa. Apparently.
They have, yes.
I've got another package for you.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, we have been refunded, and that's fine. UPS took care of it. They said, hey, we just have to take a loss on this one. They are not going to reach back out. But the principal of a neighbor who... We know they have it. UPS knows they have it. Just neglecting and choosing, you know what? I want these sandals. I didn't order them nor pay for them. But what are you going to do about it? Because they're in my house and you can't come take them. And we can't prove they have it. We certainly all know and understand it. And I was asking, what do I do in this situation? Because I'm typically not a person looking for retribution, but they broke the social contract. They broke the contract of the neighborhoodly, all the niceties, and like we help each other out. They broke it, and I'm at a loss for what to do in response.
Okay, so I have a couple of things.
Yes.
Is it possible that this person has the same size and also ordered these exact same sandals? Is that possible?
I would say it's highly unlikely. It's certainly
but
possible.
It is possible.
It's not 0%.
Beyond a reasonable doubt,
would say
some would
less
say
than
in court.
Two.
I think you bring the jury in. So here's my other question, and I'm sure Jason, knowing the Seinfeldian, I have the answer for you. And I don't know if you went down the Seinfeld route.
I did
but
not.
This is eerily similar.
I suggested calling David Gruber.
This is eerily similar to when, you remember when George got the statue, the little statue, and the cleaning dude came into Jerry's house and stole the thing. This sounds like this is what happened. So then I think are you interested in taking matters into your own hands and just going over there and taking the sandals back? Because now he's worn these sandals.
I'm unwilling to break into their house or remove them off the feet of the person who may be wearing them.
What if you see him walking down the street?
I like
a
good heist idea here. Let's
take him right off his feet.
Do you know what they look like, these neighbors?
We do not. We do know their names, which I'm not going to share here. I'm not going to dox them.
That's probably
because we are able to look up tax records in the state.
Yeah, what? Looked up tax records on them?
Yeah, of course. It's very easy. You type in the address, tell them who owns it, then you know who you're looking for.
checked out the circuit court registry, see if they've been tried in any cases? Did you do that too?
Any jury duty?
Yeah, maybe they have some theft or robbery in their past. Who knows?
I'm going to tell you this, Josh.
People, these are.
I'm with you. You're going to get fully whole. Thank you, UPS. Even though I don't know why we're giving UPS so, but okay. Uh-huh. So UPS took good care of you.
They deliver
but
ice
it would
cream.
Bother me. This would bother me a lot if this happened.
Yes,
this,
like, is this
would bother me a lot.
That's why I wanted to bring it up on our show, because I thought this would really be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it would bother me, and I would find a way to rectify the situation. I don't know. I don't know the right route, though. I would go over and address. They just won't answer. What are they gonna? Are they basically turning into hermits so that nobody can come in their house? They're not answering the door for FedEx or for UPS. They're not doing Amazon. And now they're not going to, if Joshy D comes over? What if you take over, I don't know, like a nice tort? You take a tort, a peace tort.
Tort.
You take a peace tort over and say, listen, man, I don't know what happened.
Chocolatey Claire tort.
This thing has spiraled, a blueberry tort. This thing has spiraled out of control.
Don't the
I
want to
be a good neighbor. I don't want to have this I don't want to have this consternation in our neighborhood. Here is a tort. Can I please have my blank and sandals back? And go from there.
Pipe Jim on the private talk and text line predicting that these sandals are already on eBay.
I imagine that's the case.
Would you consider purchase? Are they at a lower price than you paid for them originally?
Just right. You could end up making out on this whole deal.
Could you buy them at a discounted rate?
We get a full refund and then maybe 50%? Because, who's going to buy something?
He can't
for
sell those
price?
Things. Yeah, they're hot. Can't sell those things at full price.
See if he has the guts
and
to do
the
a porch pickup.
See if they'll deliver them for you. See if you'll deliver them to your door.
All right, Joshy, we appreciate you. I'm sorry that you were criticized.
All right,
or,
so, Josh, before you go.
I still like the heist idea. Joshy's 11, all the producers
I think the heist idea is good, too. Joshy, I know you're a principled cat, man, and you. What are you going to do? What does your girlfriend think you should do? And what will the consensus of the DiMaggio household end up doing?
The real result here is probably going to be nothing, and I'm just going to stew about it. Because the problem with any sort of real retribution, the problem with real retribution is they have our phone number and our address. So if suspicious things start happening around the house, you know, maybe
Hatfields and the McCoys right here.
But I don't know if they're going to escalate. You know, people were suggesting, like, you know, those glitter bombs where you open a package and it shoots glitter all over and then you've got a mess of glitter to pick up. But if we do that, they're going to go, well, it seems like somebody did this and we have a good clue of who it may be.
I think you take why don't you just order another pair of sandals?
Because that's admitting defeat.
We already have the replacement.
That's quitting.
Yeah.
He already has the replacement.
I know, but that's quitting.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We've been we've been refunded, but it's the principle
the
of
principle.
The matter.
I agree.
You don't feel whole. You're not going to feel whole until you get this thing rectified. I get it.
I have an idea.
I get it.
Send in the Girl Scouts. Sell them some cookies, ring the doorbell, get them to the front door, and then you surprise them when they come out to answer the door, and then say, hey, where are my sandals at?
Just buy them back off
Trojan
eBay.
Horse.
Yeah. All right, Joshy,
I wonder,
we appreciate
you. Can you get like a preemptive search warrant to go have someone search the house for the sandals?
I don't think that the police department
There's
does
enough
request.
Evidence here. What?
Hey, play the Oompa Loompa song, and I'd like to request that you search my neighbor's home for my sandals.
You take the basement.
This is so you. If this happened to you, you'd be having outrage on outrage. Let's not act like you just sit there and say, oh, shucks, that's too bad that my neighbor did that. Like, come on. Like, it would bother everybody that this happens to you,
it will bother you, and you're not going to just throw in the towel on it. Josh, I'm with you, baby. I'm with you.
I'm not.
What would you do?
Well, I certainly wouldn't put in a request for a search warrant with my local police department, because it doesn't work that way.
How do you know?
Because I live in... You can't... Ordinary citizens cannot request the police search someone else's home.
You'd say, I just had goods stolen from me, and I want you to go check to see if this is the case. Now, maybe I can't. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so don't... I guess I don't know. But I know this. I'm not going to just roll over and say, oh, well, oh, shucks. Oh, yeah, I guess that's just the way it is. Nah, it's not the way it is.
Okay, so what's your plan?
I have my plan. I just told you, the tort. Peace tort.
Peace tort.
Okay. Joshy, get baking, because you got to get your tort ready to deliver to your neighbors and ask for your sandals back, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm on it.
He's not on it.
I just love that Jason acts like, oh, there's nothing you can do. You would be livid on top of livid if you got a bunch of golf clubs sent to you for Sid or Madison, and a neighbor kid it got delivered, and they were the wrong. And then all of a sudden, you see they're out swinging the clubs out in the yard. Oh, these are great clubs! You're telling me you just sit there and say, "That's too bad." Like, yeah, I know you would.
I must have missed the part of the story where he saw the neighbor walking in the sandals. I must have missed that part.
He's going to. He's gonna.
Not if the person's selling it on eBay. He's not going to see them wearing them.
I'm irritated for Josh this morning. I'm irritated for him.
Palo Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I don't feel like you have a ton of empathy for Josh in this case.
I actually thought this was a great story. We had a great conversation about it. I brought it to you so you could discuss it, not so you could claim that I would be forgiving about it.
I'm curious. Like, I think everybody would react differently. Jesse, what would you do?
I would go ring the
doorbell. You had people put water jugs in front of your door, and you thought it was World War IV.
The infamous water jugs in the apartment. That was a time. I would go ring the doorbell. I'd probably repeatedly go over each day and ring the doorbell until you figure out like what's going on. Get them to answer the door. If they don't, you leave them alone. Then you try again the next day and the next day and the next day. It's relentless. It's a war of attrition to try and get to the bottom of it. You can't just give up.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Neighbors, you just walk across the street or wherever they are. And ding dong. Hey, nobody home? Okay, I'll try again tomorrow. Go over at 10 a.m. the next day. Go over at 5 p.m. on the next day.
I know what you could do. You could go over there with some great opportunities from Pella and say, you know what? I know you got my sandals. I got something better for you. I can get you windows and doors right now, and you don't have to pay anything for 2 years. That will be the end. Right now, time to upgrade your windows and or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune. Well, Pella is the best in the industry and has a product line for every budget. And right now you can get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. You can walk around in those Birkenstocks that you did pay for, and you can get 2 years with no payments or interest. So if the plan is to wait, you can get it now and wait to start making payments for up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on June 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We'll get ready for Evan Cohen next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Who let the dogs out?
Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Jason, do you think that song is feet or actual dogs getting let out?
Yeah, I think it's actual dogs.
Okay.
I think they have dogs running in the video.
They do. It's very much the creature, not the feet.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones. As a member of the 565 analytics staff has had a similar experience with the delivery of a package in Canton, Ohio.
He didn't bring this to HR. When we had our HR meeting at 565, he didn't bring it to it.
Welcome, Geriad. Fill us in on your similar situation.
How's it going, fellas? Morning.
Good morning.
So I'll tie a few things in here and a little call back and give Tausch a little bit of a chance to rant on a situation that'll be right up his alley. So it wasn't actually in Canton. So long story short, my brother-in-law lives in North Carolina. He has a one-year-old. They're due in July with their second child. So they decided to put out a baby shower registry on Amazon.
Venmo.
Callback. With a QR code. So we living in Canton, have some prior things going on. We're not going to be able to make it. So my wife went ahead and said, hey, we'll just send you some stuff if that's okay. Yeah, no problem. Go ahead. So we go ahead, order. He's already got a daughter. They're having another girl. So we got some shirts and attire and stuff that says big sister, you know, little sister, different stuff like that. A bunch of diapers, I think like a pack and play, just a bunch of stuff, and sent it to his house. Well, he had just recently moved within the last couple months. His address is very, very similar to another person's address who lives about 5-10 minutes away. Same house number, same street name. The only difference is one is street, one is road.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
This gets delivered to the other house. And this isn't the first time it's happened. It's happened numerous times with other things my brother-in-law said. And the guy would call my brother-in-law and say, hey, I got your stuff. When do you want to stop over? Do you want to meet up? We can exchange, you know, whatever. I'll get you your stuff. No problem. This time, however, that did not happen. So my wife saw that it was delivered and asked my brother-in-law, did you get the stuff? And he said, no. When was it supposed to be here? Long story short, it's at the other guy's house. So my wife does an Amazon. She gets refunded. We're good. My brother-in-law calls the guy and says, hey, I think I got something delivered for us to your house. And he says, oh, yeah, my daughter's actually having my second granddaughter, so I was just going to keep the stuff and give it to her. Seems very IPT, in my opinion, considering this is not the first time that's happened. They're already well acquainted because of this. But to put ice cream on top of ice cream cake. My brother-in-law is also a cop, so I don't know if the search and seizure and the warrant, if that plays into it.
Wow.
But I figure, we got the QR code, we got the IPT, we got the cops involved, They got a little bit of everything. And then, of course, Tausch, you can rant about street names being the same and not being creative.
That's what Geriad, that's why you're the GOAT. I was going to bring that up even if you had not called. Because I've said we are lazy and uncreative about street names. And that was the part of the Josh DiMaggio story that got left out. It gets fixed if you just don't say First Street Northwest. Like, it's just we're so lazy with it. This is a great way. This should be in our school systems, where we have kids be creative and come up with new street names, and get it off to the city engineers, and let's go about doing it this way, rather than just lazily flop a number and be done, and then you have this package deal, and now as everything's getting automated, Geriad knew exactly he was going to trigger me, and he did. And well done by Geriad.
Geriad, so where does the case currently stand?
So I don't know if he still has the stuff or not. I know my brother-in-law does not have the stuff. My wife was refunded, and she went ahead and reordered the stuff. He did get the second package, but as far as what happened with the first one, I guess the guy got some new baby soon to be
grandpa
arrival stuff for free, I guess. But, yeah,
Has
the guy said it out loud that he was going to keep it?
Sounds like a confession to me.
Yeah, my brother-in-law. Because my brother-in-law. It's not the first time it's happened, like I said, so they're well aware that their addresses are the same. And before, this guy had called my brother-in-law and said, hey, I think I got something of yours. Where do you want to meet? Whatever. They're 10 minutes down the road from each other. So now when my wife said, hey, did you get that stuff? Let me know if you get it. My brother-in-law called that guy and said, hey, I think you may have got something of mine. And he said, yeah, my daughter's having a baby. I was just going to give it to her as a gift. So complete confession, well aware.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
That is bold, baby.
Wow. Have packages ever gone the other way where your brother-in-law has gotten an item that should have gone to this diaper thief fellow? Grandpa thief.
Not that I'm aware of, but at this point, if it does, I say you just, oh, yeah, I was just going to give it to my so-and-so neighbor and just keep it because, you know, why not?
All right, keep us updated on this because I am curious, with the added layer of your brother-in-law being a police officer, is he just going to let this go or is he going to follow up on it in some form or fashion?
Like I would hope he would follow up. Coincidentally, just another layer. His wife also works for the cops. She's in the canine unit with the drug dogs. And
so be sniffing out those diapers, baby.
Get those clothes back.
Hopefully they're new. No one wants to sniff out the dirty ones. But, yeah, hopefully we'll see where this goes.
Geriad, thanks for the call. Perfect to chime in on this. This is why they pay you the no bucks at 565 Analytics.
But we're appreciative, Jason. We don't pay, but we're very appreciative.
And we are appreciative of Gruber Law Offices as a great partner. And if we have a legal question like we do now, I will text David and ask him if Josh has any recourse. That's not his specialty. His specialty, obviously, is an injury law. But he knows the law, and he can help us out. We got to get ready for Evan Cohen, but you need to make the call if you've been injured. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
There are moments where it feels like you're close, but taken holistically, those look like blips.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
To win a championship, you have to consistently be that team.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
They're coming to the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. I still say that wrong. I just can't help myself.
It's tough.
Later this week.
Tough word.
But Evan Cohen, not the Killers, joins us now. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Mark, how are you guys?
We are
really good, Evan.
By the way, you guys are on the phone with me right now. As I am walking towards what is a very interesting scenario as to whether or not I got a parking ticket. I parked in the general vicinity of a fire hydrant.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to find out if I got a parking ticket, and I don't know where my car is. Okay, this is a problem. Now? All right.
You may not find a ticket. You may find you've been towed.
Stunning development.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Well, wait a minute.
If I'm like,
what, is your car there or what?
I don't know. I realize I'm on the wrong street. If I parked 5 feet in front of a hydrant, what do you think?
Well, first of all,
you're fine.
Getting the wrong street apparently is a common problem over the last several days after our conversation with Josh having his package delivered to the same address one street over. So I hope you find your car on the correct street.
Yeah, me too.
The NBA Finals are over. We talked to our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia yesterday. He was great. One of the things we talked about was obviously Giannis and the Bucks free agents. Have you been spending more, less, or about the same amount of time on Giannis on your program lately? And what are your expectations for that scenario?
I mean, way less, because I've been saying all along that I don't believe that Giannis is going anywhere. And I think the fact that it is clear now that whatever decision is going to be made, if any decision, because reminder, no decision has to be made because he's under contract, will not be made for a while. And I don't think there's any decision to be made. And I think when you look at all these injuries across the Eastern Conference, I wonder whether or not Giannis is just sitting there saying, I'm good. I'll just like operate this way and be totally fine and think that this team, whether with or without Dame long term, can still compete once they tinker a little bit. My car is here. Now the question is whether or not I have a ticket. We're going to find out. Uh-oh. What is that? No tickets and a spot on the street. $50, Dave. You know, it's $50 by this new office in the city. It's ridiculous for parking.
Wow. That is kind of, that's hot.
Tosh, you've added a lot today so far.
Well, what do you want me to do? You're sitting there and you're spitting? Yeah, go ahead. I do think that this whole street name, the fact that you didn't even know what street you were on, and with Josh, you talking about what he...
Street. Oh, okay.
Well, how disappointed were you in the fact that Kevin Durant went for, as you put on your show yesterday, the 7th and 10th best asset to the Houston Rockets, where the Miami Heat, I hate to say this, but they're middling now to the point where, I'm not going to say they're irrelevant, but unless they do something, that's kind of where they're at. You seem pretty disappointed by the fact they didn't pull the trigger and get KD down there.
That's right. I think you're 1,000% right on everything you're saying. I think that here, the irrelevant part's tricky because, and I know as much as you like to rib me about the Heat, which is totally fine, and I deserve it, you also simultaneously have extreme respect for what they have done over the course of 20-plus years, right? Like, I mean, you know,
Yeah.
So, and I know you guys. I know you do. So, and I think Jason does probably even more because of, you know, when we talk about whether it's Mike McCarthy or Mike Tomlin or these coaches that have had sustainability and become underrated in some cases. I know how you think overrated in Tomlin, but definitely underrated relative to McCarthy. I mean, look at what Spoelstra has done, and then I think we all know, like, all right, that's a great coach and a great franchise, et cetera. That said, yeah, I mean, I literally just walked out. I was talking to Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, and
Marksy.
I was, like, wondering, what?
Marksy. Yeah, I call him Marksy. You call him Bobby Marks. But
that's... I didn't know that. You called him Marksy. Okay.
Marksy.
Basically, my hunch, and based on the reporting, is correct. Like, they didn't offer anything. So that to me is weird. It's like, why are these teams not all in on Kevin Durant?
They think KD's washed. They think he's washed. That's why.
But Tausch, based on what? Based on what? Look at his numbers.
He's 37, blown out Achilles a few years ago. I mean, they don't think he's got a lot of runway left. That's why.
Yeah. I don't agree with that. How about that?
You're right. Yeah, you're right. What did you make of the Drew Holiday trade? Because to me, this is telling you that teams are now much more worried about the financial parts of this than they have been in the past. And the days of racking up three superstars or trying to do what LeBron did, those days are gone. Is that a fair assessment on your end?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, here's what happened last night, I believe we had a double salary dump, and it's to your point, so let me explain. I believe the Boston Celtics got rid of two-time champion, of course, once with the Bucks, Drew Holiday, because they did not want to pay an enormous amount of money by way of luxury tax. I believe the Portland Trailblazers, who everyone in the state of Wisconsin is dying to talk about today, took on Drew Holiday simply because it's actually, even though it's a bad contract, going to ultimately be less than what they would have had to pay this guy Anthony Simons. But to your point, what the NBA has done, and I think it's incorrect in their assessment, what the NBA has done is create rules to penalize teams from doing a good job for a long period of time. We started talking about this morning on Unsportsmanlike. Like, we're not that far away from the Oklahoma City Thunder having to part ways with some of their guys. Why? Because they were really good at drafting. So they're actually getting penalized for being really good at drafting. Hey, you know what? We had so many picks, and we hit on so many of them, thus we have to get rid of some of them. Something seems wrong with that, because it's not about money spent. All of these people can spend the money. It's a, and or would be willing to spend the money as long as they were making the money. It's about the penalties that they would receive as a result of spending the money, i.e., you can't trade two guys for one guy, i.e., you lose a draft pick, i.e., you cannot sign a player for more than a certain amount of money in season by way of a buyout. All of these competitive advantage rules, and I think they're cutting off their nose despite their face, because I don't personally believe the seven champions in 7 years is actually a good thing. I think you want dominance in sports.
Dynasties.
You have that big, bad bully. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like that.
You don't agree?
I agree.
I would agree, too. I think that there's, and I watched last night a little bit of The Last Dance, the end of it again, and you know that was what drove people. The Jordan, you know, that last championship run, trying to knock those guys down. I don't think what the Heat did with LeBron was good for the game. I don't. But I do think the interest level in someone trying to knock them off is a reason why more people tuned in than not.
Yeah, okay, wait, two questions on that. One, not to relitigate, why was a big three in Miami not good?
I just think it was LeBron kind of saying, I can't do this, I need to go and get help, and it was too much. There was too much there, and it. I don't.
Did you have a problem?
There's
with
a balance
the same
of
thing going back to Cleveland. Wait, did you have a problem with him? He did the exact same thing going back to Cleveland. He made the assessment after 4 years. Miami did not have enough. Don't get it twisted that he wanted to go home. He saw Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love.
I'm not.
That's what
nobody
he saw.
Listen, man. I ain't getting it twisted.
I'm just saying.
I think.
Yeah. I think it's
LeBron
ridiculous. I think the whole thing is
easy.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
No, but now,
for the
here's
easy
the issue
way.
I have.
Path of least
okay,
resistance.
Fine. That's a LeBron thing. That's not a Heat thing. But the thing that I have an issue with is, like, should the NFL be putting in rules, further rules, to make sure the Chiefs can't be good for that much longer because they hit on Mahomes?
No, they have made it where you can keep your quarterback with the franchise. I think the NFL has done it right. They've tried to make it where if you're a competent organization, you can go on a New England and a Kansas City run. If you get that quarterback spot right for a long period of time, you're going to have a lot of bites at the championship apple. And I think the NBA is still going to be, if you have your two guys that are the right guys, Pippen, Jordan, you're going to be in a position to win a lot. If you don't, you're going to have injuries and everything else. And that's what I want to ask you. There's been
folks.
One
very quick thing on it. One very quick thing. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think it is interesting in terms of roster composition and team building. So you're right. The NBA, like if you're to define each sport, how do you build a title winner? A quarterback in the NFL outperforming his contract at the highest level is how you start to build a title winner. What you just said is in the NBA, having a big two and then like six or seven guys around that big two that are at least average on offense and defense and hopefully above average if you're lucky. So what happens if you unintentionally, by way of draft in two cases, trade in another case, develop a big three as Oklahoma City has done? You're ultimately going to be penalized because you hit on three guys. They would have been better off if Jalen Williams and Chet were a little bit worse, which sounds so stupid, but it's true.
Fair. Are the NBA playoffs too long?
Well, tell me how you'd like to shorten them. Here we go, another Tausch idea.
Well, I think I don't necessarily agree that they're too long, but it is 3 months, and you're having injuries, and you're having I don't know what the right answer is, but I know this did feel too long and drawn out more than in the past, and I probably don't have any scientific research behind it. I don't know what maybe you limit it, and you just go 60. I don't know. Evan, but I'm asking you as the NBA expert.
Yeah, I believe it's this. I believe if we had the exact same playoffs next year with the exact same people and the exact same results and the exact same injuries, it would not feel as long. And the reason I say that is because we now have a target in Oklahoma City. When you don't have a target and you don't know who the biggest team is, it could feel a little bit more drawn out. The NFL always feels short relative to playoffs, obviously because they are, but because more times than not, as you pointed out, you have a Chiefs or you have a Patriots or now you have an Eagles and you have maybe a Ravens and a Bills as well. When you have that target and everyone is focused on the one team in addition to their own teams, I think it feels easier and shorter.
Okay. All right, last
Jason,
one for me.
You
don't talk.
What happened to Jason?
You don't talk.
Jason?
Yeah, I. A couple things. First of all,
okay.
I would like to rewind to what you were saying about the NBA. You know, Justin knows all about the aprons and everything else, which I'm not going to lie, my eyes glaze over when we get into the finer points and details of that. But they're really important,
yeah, agreed.
Right? And
yeah.
And having worked in your previous incarnation, sometimes on a variety of NBA-related shows, why does
yes.
the NBA have so many restrictions tethered to their salary cap structure? Because you
Great
know
question.
That they
I have an answer for that.
You know they look at the
Great
NFL
question.
And the parity, and it's very interesting to them, right? Because that
okay.
does keep a lot
okay.
of teams engaged. But why do they do
Couple
it?
Couple of things. Great question. All right, a few things on that. Number one, NBA 4P to 6P Eastern on Sunday. I'll be doing a free agency special on ESPN Radio with Tim Von Tempson. Just a quick plug on that.
No, no Marksy? No Marksy on that one?
How about Legler? Where's Legs? Why's Legs not on?
Legs hates this stuff. I've done this with Legs for years. He hates the speculative free agency trade stuff. He loves the
analysis. I'm going to tell you this.
Basketball. He gets
Legs is the best basketball analyst on our station. Period. Fin. Continue.
Wow. More than Ben Brust. Interesting. Okay. So, Jason, the reason, and this is going to sound ridiculous, the reason they have all these rules, in my opinion, is the same reason that I shouldn't go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Someone needs to protect someone from themselves. The NBA is actually petrified of the horrific decisions majority governors, owners of teams, will make if there's no penalty for spending other than money.
Mm.
Look at Phoenix for a second, okay? Phoenix has spent so much money on such a bad team acquiring these players. And the only reason they're not going to use money to fix their problems is because they lose the ability to get players as a result. When money is your only penalty, if you were to say to Tausch, hey, you really screwed up here, we're going to fine you money, he doesn't care. If you say, hey, you're going to lose the show, well, that's a different story. Right? So if a majority governor does not have the opportunity to improve their team because they spent too much money, because they can't sign a player, they can't trade for a player, they can't do this, that, the other thing, that's when the penalties are felt and where it's more under control. Now, that's part one. Hopefully that makes some sense to you. Part
it
two
does.
Is you just conveyed one of the biggest pieces of crap argument, not by you, okay, but by the NFL. Not that they're pieces of crap. Like, the argument is a piece of crap. There's no parity in the NFL. It's ridiculous. The same teams are great every year. What the hell are we talking about? What kind of parity? You had 20 years of a Patriots run of dominance. And, you know, during that year, Steelers were good all the time. Colts were good most of the time. Ravens were good most of the time. Now we have the Chiefs who are going to be good for 20 years. And during that run, Ravens are good. Bills are good. Steelers are good. Guess what? How many different iterations of Niners, Packers have we had over the last 30 years? A million. What are we talking about with parity in the NFL? That is such ridiculous crap, in my opinion. The Green Bay Packers have been at least good enough. Our, all three of us, and we're all around the same general age group, although I believe Jason may be the oldest.
Which I am indeed.
Yeah, by a bunch.
So, literally, the majority of our lifetime, the Green Bay Packers have been at least good enough. That sound like parody? The majority of our lifetime, the Chicago Bears have been at least bad enough. Obviously, they're one-off years. What kind of parody are
you bring up? You bring up a fascinating point, because the NFL sells its 32 fan bases on parody, and realistically, the NBA should be selling it much more, because you get a transformational player, you can flip the script probably more so than in football. And I always look at it and say, well, you know, when it gets to be July 23rd and teams report, 32 fan bases think they can win a championship. Now, realistically, what is that number? 50? No, I'm saying that's always been the point, because I can tell you, you get in front in the meetings, and coaches will say, it's a fresh start. If you can catch lightning in a bottle, things can happen. Can I finish my point?
Then
let me finish my point, Evan. Let me finish my point.
Yes,
my point is the NFL is selling parody, and their fans eat it up. The NBA doesn't, and they should. Go ahead.
So let's do the exercise, okay? NFL fan bases come late July that should realistically go into this season saying, we got a shot to get to the Super Bowl. You've got three off the top of your head with no debate in the AFC in Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be lenient in this argument to make the point. The Chargers and the Broncos, I think, are really potentially good. I think their fan base can sell themselves on getting to the Super Bowl. We're just going to play it out here. That's
fine. I would
agree.
Houston Texans
are six.
Yep.
Bengals fans, let's say yes, even though I don't agree with it. Let's say yes because they've seen it. So that's seven.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
I would agree.
Are we stopped? I don't believe the Steelers fans can. And I don't believe anybody in the AFC East can this year. New England in a year, but not this year. Let's go to the NFC. Eagles and Commanders, that's two. Packers, three. Vikings, Lions, yes. That's four.
Rams?
I would give the Vikings. Hey, even though the Vikings got a young quarterback, I think their fans believe that they can.
Yeah, let's say 7-7, okay? Let's say 14 teams, just roughly, can believe that they can legitimately make a run to the Super Bowl. Now let's go to the NBA. Of fan bases that by right before the season, in October, would look at it and say, you know what? We may have a shot here of actually making a run to the finals. Okay? So in the Western Conference alone, Oklahoma City, Houston, the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Wolves, the Warriors – the Mavs, although there could be some news today there, and then San Antonio. How many is that in the West alone?
Hey, that's nine. What's the news?
Okay.
News break.
Cleveland,
NBA insider.
Cleveland, the Knicks. I guess the Pacers can't. The Bucks can. Detroit.
Celtics.
Orlando. No, Celtics can't with the injuries. Detroit.
I think
Orlando,
they still think they can.
Okay. And then, as wild as it sounds, Philly.
Okay.
If they run it back, which I don't know what you're running back. My point is, we're almost at the majority of the entire NBA without actually being lenient relative to fan bases' expectations. We were so lenient in the NFL. We probably should have included Tampa. But we were so lenient in the NFL. And it's just ridiculous. And you know what it's going to be. The AFC Championship game is going to be at least one of the big three of Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo, maybe two, and then maybe you'll have Houston slip in one round deeper than they got last year. What are we talking about with parody? I'm sorry to go off
on that.
Is that
a brand? So do you think that's a branding thing? Is that the NFL just being a better brander?
Okay, so the reason that you would consider it a brand is you're then believing, hey, if you get all 32 fan bases engaged, you've won the season before it starts.
Yes.
Where I say, hey, yes, dominance in sports is the best, but dominance is, if the Warriors, the old war, if the Thunder become the Warriors, why would the Blazers fans be all in? Why would the Hornets fans, the Wizards, teams that you know have no shot, why would they be all in?
So I think when the NFL argues parity, I think what their argument is that all these teams are still in playoff contention, and you can miss the playoffs 1 year and then make it the next. Like, say, the Packers in 23, right? And they win a game. You don't have to win a seven-game series to advance, so any given Sunday applies. So you have teams like the Commanders this year. Did you have the Commanders playing in the NFC Championship game?
No.
But to Evan's point, it is a bit of a fallacy, because in the NBA, who cares if you made it to the Eastern Conference semifinals? No one's super excited about that, right?
Yeah, but Jason, to your point, and you're listening to Will D'Antaus here at ESPN Wisconsin.
Great reset.
Really good reset.
Oh, I forgot to reset the me part. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike joining us weekday mornings at 5 a.m. here on ESPN Wisconsin. Catch him Sunday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. with Tim Bontemps' free agency special. All right.
And legs. You better get Legler on that
and
show.
And Mark C. We don't ever say 4 p.m., 6 p.m., by the way.
That's the national. That's what national folks
do. Also got a
do.
Brewers game in Madison on Sunday. So.
Bump it, Cohen. I like that. BC.
Wow. Thanks, Jesse. WKTI, WBEV, and WTLX. I think I have to get the legal ID stuff in there, if I got that right. Anyway, so...
Nice job.
Jason, to your point about, well, the NFL sells being alive late, right? Like, hey, it's week 14, this team's still alive.
They do.
Based on that, based on that as a model, which I understand that, the NBA has 10 play-in or playoff teams in each conference, and they have 15 total teams in each conference. So why would the same not apply then there? Because we kind of crap on the idea of, like, oh, my God, who wants to watch this terrible play-in game, right? So the ability to be alive late as a selling point should work not only for the NFL, but it should work for the NBA as well.
I agree, and I was bolstering your argument that it was branding. Now, again, your beloved Miami Heat, did they not play in the play-in tournament and then reach the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. But Jason, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that parity? Is that dominance? What is that? How Jason Wilson would assess that?
Yeah, I would say this. I know there are those that don't think it's a good thing that there have been seven different champions the last 7 years. I prefer that, because I don't know if there's a transcendent player right now, like Kobe, like LeBron in his heyday, or like Jordan, that I want to keep seeing. Like Tiger when he was golfing, right? Like, is there anyone
That's an interesting thing. You just brought up a fascinating point. What you just said was, I'm interested in dominance. I'm just not interested in dominance from these current stars in this league. Mm-hmm. If you gave Jason Wilde a star that he wanted to see win twice in a row, he'd sign up for that.
Yep.
He just doesn't have that star in this league. Yep. If Caitlin Clark could win twice in a row, you'd sign up for her because you want her to be the face. So this time next year, if we're talking about Oklahoma City back-to-back, you may put a negative spin on it because you have no emotion towards Shea, not because you don't like the idea of dominance or dynasty.
Yeah, and look, I would say the last time I felt this way, what did Golden State do? Did they win 3 in 4 years? Or 3 in 5 years,
yeah,
something
so
like that?
Yeah, yeah, they won in 15, lost in 16, won in 17, won in 18, lost in 19.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was an enjoyable team.
Because
I like Steve
Seth.
Kerr.
Because you like Seth.
Yep, and Klay Thompson. Yeah, so, again,
Did you like the Heat winning in two in 4 years? Like, if you took away your hatred towards me and just looked at the Heat in general, did you like the Heat winning twice in 4 years?
Again, hatred is strong. No, because of the
really
way...
a lot of hatred? Is that better?
Extreme dislike.
Okay. So if you took out your extreme dislike of me, would that sport turn on for you of like that level of dominance?
No, because I disliked what LeBron did more.
And if he went to Milwaukee, would you dislike it?
More than I dislike you. If he went to Milwaukee now and took like a bargain basement deal to play with Giannis and win a title, I'm in.
Tausch, let's finish with this if we could. Tausch, if you were to power
I have something I need to finish with you on, but go ahead.
You'll like this. If you were to power rank all on-air ESPN Wisconsin teammates, me included, of people Jason dislikes the most. So,
why are we doing this?
Who's in the top three,
Evan,
in addition to my...
Here's the deal.
Yep.
Evan, I am good. No. I'm going to be a great teammate. I am not going to go down that road because I think it's just not going to be good for the team chemistry. So I want to finish with this. You, with your big national platforms and the fact that you do NBA and NFL at such a high clip, will you be talking? And I said that this game coming up Wednesday afternoon at 1:10 on WTMJ on our station 100.5 here in Madison. Skinas versus The Miz. Two stars.
That's not his name.
Will there be...
His name is Skinas.
Not on this show.
You don't listen to the show enough then, because this is a fun little deal. Will you be talking about that game, promoting baseball, on your big boy national platform Wednesday morning?
Well, clearly you don't listen to our show enough, because we talked about Miz yesterday at 6 a.m. your time. We discussed Miz and how Canty brought him up and how dominant he's been and how his numbers are absurd and how he's a righty Randy Johnson and how my reaction was I thought all weekend people were talking about a wrestler.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, you will be promoted. You will be, because Major League Baseball needs a shot in the arm. We all know that. This is one of those shots in the arm. Two studs at AmFam Field, 1:10. I think it's 1:10, Jesse, right?
1:10 tomorrow.
Whatever.
Yep.
There you go, 1:10. You don't get matchups like this. This is
the
most heralded matchup. What?
So Jesse, I think, has given all of the state of Wisconsin off for this as a result of the
Everyone
matchup.
Should find a way to get in front of a TV or a radio to consume this game tomorrow.
Guy.
Yes, they should.
He's a team guy. That's what he does.
You know, the irony of what you just said, baseball needs a shot in the arm, which is the last time baseball had a shot in the arm is when they had a shot in the arm.
Good one.
Is that where the shots go?
I think it's more of a shot in the keister. Yeah. I think that's more of a shot in the keister, though, not in the arm, but I digress.
Oh, well, you would know.
Oh, wow. Actually, I definitely would not. All right, Jason, I think I'm done with Evan. I don't know if you are.
I think we're good for today.
I put me, Rust, and Scalzo as the big three of Jason Disco.
I don't think Scalzo would make that list.
He definitely doesn't. He definitely does not make
that
list.
I do think that you're right about the first two, but I don't know who would be his third. It's a great question.
It's not Brad. It's
Jason?
Not Kyle, it's not Jim. It's not Matt. How about Jen gave it to Chewy?
If you can't figure out who it is, it might be you, Tausch.
Today it might be me. That's fair.
Jason, you should have just cut me off and said nobody could top my hatred for Tausch. That would have been good.
Thanks, Evan. We appreciate you.
Doesn't sound like it, though. All right, thanks, guys.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The pitch and Yelich, a drive out to right. That ball is back, and it is gone. Christian Yelich, a two-run shot.
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
Thanks, Devin Cohen. Always great to catch up with him, get his NBA insights. Are there seven teams, and should the Packers fan base be among those who fervently believe they are a Super Bowl team? Because he counted them in that group.
It's so interesting to me because, Jason, you've been covering this league a long time. And when I played, I was fortunate. When you have a quarterback, everybody believes. I've told you this 1,000 times if I've told you once. But the NFL has done such a great job of making, and I know we got a fun little promo coming up, but making you believe that you can win a championship, that every year you only have 16. And the difference, why I think, is you can pull off a big upset once.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pull off a big upset four times. The best team in the NBA wins a championship. The best sometimes isn't the best because they're not the healthiest, but you ain't winning 4 out of 7 with all the adjustments if you're not the best. NFL, you can go and have a crap game where you throw 3 picks. Green Bay could have beaten Phil. Who knows? But Detroit would play Washington, and I would bet if they were fully healthy, if there's a 7-game series, they're winning it. But one time.
Yeah.
One time, they can't, and that's it. And that's the difference.
It is indeed. All right, we need to get to the 10 o'clock hour. Tausch mentioned it. Made Him Believe is right around the corner. 2 days from today, there are a small number of tickets still available for you to be there at the Orpheum Theater on Thursday night with the aforementioned Ben Brust as the master of ceremonies. Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, Bo Ryan, they'll all be there to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of that 2015 team that reached the national championship game, and you can be there and be part of it. Just go to uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com, or just scan the QR code that's up on your screen right now if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Again, Made Him Believe, Thursday night at the Orpheum Theater. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.